Good evening. Welcome to the Park and Recreation Advisory Board meeting, Monday, October 9th, 2023. The City of Gladstone is abiding by guidelines set forth in House Bill 2560, which requires the governing body of the public body to extend reasonably possible to make all meetings accessible remotely
through technological means and provide opportunity for members of general public to remotely submit oral and written testimony during meetings to extent in-person oral and written testimony is allowed. Therefore, this meeting will be open to the public both in person and virtually using the Zoom platform. Let's get started with roll call.
Self-introductions down here. Justice.
Justice. Okay.
David's here.
Nancy Turner, present.
Bruce Hildreth.
Ellen Faber, present.
Kate Cornelius, here.
And Councillor Reichel. She's muted, but she's here. Okay. We have the approval of the September 11th minutes. Everybody been able to look those over?
Mm-hmm.
And can I entertain a motion? There aren't any questions.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. David Michael has approved. Kate Cornelius has seconded. Thank you. Okay. On to the business at hand from the staff. Mr. Canrapoli.
Yeah. So tonight we have Marcy Jory with us and City Administrator Jackie Betts to talk about the Clackamas River Greenway trail. That's the trail from Doll Beach to Ames Park. And then kind of incorporated with that, we have the Metro Local Share Grant as well. So we're going to have a discussion on that and we'll go from there.
Thank you, Darren. Good evening, commissioners. I'm Jackie Betts, City Administrator. And before Marcy and I go over a brief summary, I'm going to have her introduce herself and give you a little bit about her background.
Good evening. I'm Marcy Jory. Really happy to be here. I'm new to government work, so this is all I'm a learning process for me, and it's been really exciting, and Jackie's been a really great mentor. I come from a background of entrepreneurship for the most part, and then working for a downtown organization in Oregon City, which is how I got introduced to economic development. And how I figured out I was really good at building relationships with business owners and building owners and kind of acting as a liaison between the government, the nonprofits, and other people and other key players and stakeholders. And when I saw this job posting, I got really excited and I applied. And here I am having a really good time, really enjoying working with the Gladstone businesses and building owners. Really enjoying learning. And like I said, Jackie's been a really great mentor and boss. So thank you for having me today.
So in her introductions with different agencies and community members, she met with Metro. And I'm going to have Kristen pull up a slide because Robert Spurlock with Metro is the one that started providing Marcy some updates on the Clackamas River Greenway project. I haven't had any updates on that project since about 2017. There it is.
Just sharing on screen too. Hold on 1 second.
My recollection of this project when I first started here is that there was quite a bit of in-water work that was going to need to be done because of the wetlands associated with this project. When Marcy met with Metro, they provided us a picture, a map of the Greenway, and you'll see in a moment it's the green dash. There you go. That goes along Clackamas Boulevard and then underneath McLaughlin Boulevard and then connects with Doll Beach. So I'm going to let Marcy recap a little bit of the conversation that she had with Mr. Spurlock.
Thank you, Jackie. So when I spoke with Robert Spurlock, I had no idea or not much of an idea about the Clackamas Greenway project. As a matter of fact, I had set the meeting to talk about the trolley trail bridge, but then they had him and one of their trail designers, Alan, had said that there was funding and they were really excited to fill in this gap. This, well, for us, we see the dashes and it does go from Charles Ames Park over to Dell Beach, which is incredible, but it also completes, it's a missing part of a trail that runs all the way from, I think it's Barton Park, all the way here to Gladstone. So that's really interesting. And they were, I mean, to say excited is an understatement. They were just really excited about the potential of doing this project. And as a matter of fact, the developer of the 24-hour fitness area had kind of been done some forward thinking, must have had been in some conversations because they actually provided a public sidewalk that goes down to River Access that would connect that trail. And while they've made a couple amendments to the original plan, it's still the exact same route. Is that about it?
Yeah, so it, like Marcy said, this trail here actually connects 800 miles of regional trail system. I know the Parks Board has been very interested in seeing this project come to fruition. What's new for us is Metro diligently working behind the scenes to potentially even access property to complete this project. And so where I think the Parks Board can have some influence is to make sure that Metro understands that this is still a priority project for Gladstone to complete. When they say that they have funding for the project, I'm not sure if they're including the allocation that Metro has set aside for the other part of the agenda that we're going to talk about tonight, which is the local share grants, because Metro has $850,000 set aside for projects in Gladstone that meet the criteria. We're not sure if they're including that as the money that's available, and we'll get more clarity next month when Metro is here speaking to you about that. But we're excited that this is a project that's still on the forefront for them, and we wanted to bring you up to date that if there's any other ways that the Parks Board can be involved with this project, then we will certainly keep you updated on that.
That's great. you said that Metro has some dollars available, and they sounded like they were earmarked for our area. What was that amount again?
Yes. So I had sent out an email about a month ago, and we also sent out a copy of the criteria that's in your packet tonight. And it's the local share handbook that's in your packet. Mm-hmm. Darren has secured the Parks Director of Metro to come to your meeting in November to talk about the money that is specifically set aside for Gladstone. Okay. And what projects will qualify. And so we think that it would behoove the Parks Board to spend some time before the November meeting to get to understand what the criteria is for that. And that's what we're not sure is if Metro plans on using that allocation that's set aside for Gladstone for this project, or if they have other funds available for that. And Marcy and I are going to follow up with their staff on a meeting to get clarity on that. But again, having the Parks Director from Metro here next month is going to be an opportunity for us to ask more detailed questions on how we can access that funding and which projects qualify.
Okay. And then another question that I have, and anybody else want to jump in here? In order to understand that criteria, Jackie, is the criteria you said in the handbook?
It starts on page 11, if you have a copy of it with you.
Oh.
Under community engagement and racial equity, there are program criteria 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's what I think would be good for the Parks Board as a homework assignment to review before the November meeting, because the projects that we apply for are going to have to meet that criteria to allocate to have access to that funding.
Okay. So sounds to me like we should probably meet outside of one of our meetings here and go over this together. And
I think just individually reviewing the information that's in the packet, because publicly we're all going to go through it at the November meeting.
Okay.
So we just wanted to give you kind of a heads up that if you want to start reviewing this ahead of time, staff is meeting with Metro this Wednesday to try to get into the detail of the questions so that when we have a meeting with you in November, we're come prepared to have answers for all of you on what we can use that funding for.
Sounds very good. Yeah, Dave.
This may be a premature question, but in your dealings with Metro, was there any discussion of other funding being available, like from the state and from WES, on this trail? Because obviously it engages both of those outfits, and who would be the person having to go between to see how much, you know, money we can bring in from other sources other than the city?
Sure. And I think that that's a follow-up conversation that we're going to have with Metro staff. I do know that they're trying to realign the trail so that it's not in the water. And I think that is why they are also interested in the building on Arlington that is for sale. It used to be an attorney's building and it was on fire. So they're exploring options of whether or not they want to acquire that building and have the path go on Arlington. But yes, certainly we need to leverage as many of the funds that we have as possible. But for us, what would be helpful is getting clarity on when they say they have funds for the project, if they're planning on using Gladstone's allocation of those funds or if they have separate funds available for that project.
That helps. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Okay.
This is Veronica. Sorry. I put my hand up, but then I realized you guys have a screen that's full there, so you can't see me. Jackie or Marcy, would one of you be able to email me the slide that you're currently showing, just for informational purposes? It's not showing on my screen, so I can't see what we're talking about as far as the slide.
Yes, we can make sure that you have it, and we'll also post it to the website for this meeting.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Counselor. Okay, so we've covered both points on that, it looks like.
Yeah, I would just say, I think it's an exciting time to be on the Parks Board because there's money available. And now we've got to prioritize projects from your master plans that you would like to see happen and fitting into that Metro criteria, which is why it's very important that we have Metro here at your next meeting, because I think that that's really what we should be focusing on.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to absorb all this because I got your email from about a month ago and really appreciated that. And then Darren's an invite to the Metro director, which I think is also very good. I guess trying to understand how much money, where it is going to go to. I know this was exciting to hear about the, you know, Dahl Beach connect to the rest of the pathway. Because we've talked about that, I think, until everybody's tired of talking about it. Mm-hmm. But now we have a little breath breathe into this project, you know, so it is exciting. And Marcy, it's great to, I was hoping I was going to meet you before the meeting, but maybe I chat with you after. And I just think it's really neat that we've got somebody that maybe is a point person on this, because Jackie certainly is overloaded. Darren is very overloaded. And so it's nice to have somebody else that can kind of freewheel a little. Maybe so. All right.
He does give me a lot of leeway to freewheel. That's for sure. She's like, you have so much autonomy. I think she's a little jealous.
Well, that's good.
But it's great. It's great to meet you all and I look forward to connecting with you more.
Good. Because we have something for you that you might help us out with. Darren, is there anything more from staff?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. Did you want to go over what's just included in here? I mean, just what the city's been up to, in a nutshell?
I can real quick. For the most part, maintenance as normal. If you notice in the packet that was provided there, it talks a lot about what we've been doing in all departments in public works, not just parks, but graffiti continues to be an issue. You know, the mowing is continuing, hoping that'll slow down here in the next few weeks so that we can move on to do some of our winter projects, pressure washing, things like that. But for the most part, everything's just status quo.
The paving seemed to have gone well. My street got some big potholes filled, so I appreciate
that. Oh, yeah. We've been out and about doing a lot of skin patching. So
Yeah. That was nice to see. Thank you. I do appreciate it. Well, okay, we will move this on to business from the board. The first item that we have here is the nature park and trail naming. And we have a presentation from a FOGNAP member. I believe this is the president of FOGNAP. Right? This is Carrie Salisbury. Come on up.
Just give me a second. I'm trying to get Robert to the floor.
Good evening, everyone. It's nice to be here. I'm here on behalf of the Friends of Gladstone Nature Park with a proposal to upgrade the trail signs that currently exist in the park by adding trail names to the signs. Over the years, the Friends of Gladstone Nature Park have worked with the City Police Department with the goal of keeping the park safe. And over the past year, we, FOGNAP, Friends of Gladstone Nature Park, after collaborating with Chief Schmerber and Mr. Kenna Paroli, we quickly built and installed temporary wayfinding signs in the park to mark the trails so that if a person called the police with an issue, they could describe the location and the police could quickly and safely get to that location. The trail signs that we made are simple and designated with letters only for right now. And I have, I was going to pass these out too.
Yeah, you got them on the screen.
You got them all on the screen. Okay. So the top photo shows what we have in the park currently. And so we've labeled the signs with just the letters. And we'd like to see trail names on those signs. Just it would feel friendlier and it would help people to remember the names of the trails. If the city would approve of adding the trail names to the signs that are already there, FOGNAP could easily make the names and attach them to the signposts. FOGNAP is willing to work on this. And we've also talked about how to decide on names with possibly involving school kids or the community in some way. And eventually, after the completion of the new paved loop trail, it will be necessary to replace these signs with permanent ones. These are just temporary signs right now. We can, if we can move to installing more permanent signs, the trail names, we can just take those trail names that we come up with and put them on the new signs. And people will already know the trail names if we have trail names on there soon. So the photos down below on that first slide are examples of some of the posts that are around different parks in our area. such as Camasia, Canama, and some others that we are looking at. They're just different designs that we could look at. So that's the proposal.
Does anybody have questions? I have a couple. Okay. Nancy? Anything?
No, I think naming trails would be absolutely awesome up there. A lot of people really struggle with the alphabet letters. So I think having the names up there, and I think getting the community involved would be great. And I'm really sad that Marcy just kind of left, because that would be totally within her area to kind of pull that together. So I think this is great. And I love the partnership between FOGNAP and the community and the city. I think those are really nice connections to support it. And I, as a person who gets out on trails and wonders where they are, that's a really nice feature. So that's my thought. Thank you, Carrie.
Okay.
I agree with that too. And so I'm going to be a little leading in my questioning here.
Yeah.
These signs were developed by FOGNAP, I mean, in terms of its design and implementation. So the expense for installing them, that was city reimbursement, was it?
Yes.
For the materials?
Yes, I think so.
It was, okay.
I think so. All
right. And so if we made names, would we follow that same format? I mean, in other words,
the group hasn't talked about it, but likely, yeah.
Yeah,
ask for it. Yeah. I mean, we would.
It doesn't look like a huge expense to me.
It's not a huge expense. In fact, we have talked about the first picture there of the 4x4. With the map on the top, it was one of the ones we were talking about.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And there's a map, a trail map of the park, where the trail signs are. And then we could place that on top of the 4x4 and put them in several areas in the park. And so as you come to a signpost, as you're walking the many trails we have, you could just look at the map. You'll know where you are. And so we talked about how to design that one, and we haven't figured out like the price of how much that would cost, but we are willing to work on it and look at the cost of that.
So it sounds like there's two opportunities here. One is get some temporary signage up with trail names using the existing posts. So you'd just be adding a sign to the post.
Well, we already have the temporary signs up, which was the first picture of just the sign with the letter on it. What we're asking for right now is that we can not only have the letter there, but also trail name, which we can easily put on a plaque or something and nail or attach it to. We can keep the letters up, but we can attach the name to the post. And then, you know, if down the road we're able to get the bigger, heavier, sturdier signpost, we'll already have trail names and we can just use those names. But I think it just would be a lot friendlier for people. We've had people walkers in the park have come up to me and say, why are there letters? Why don't we have names? And I say, we're working on it. So.
Yeah. And I understand that part. I was part of the conversation with Chief Merber and Darren. So I have a question for you, Darren. Is this something that if we all are in agreement on, I can ask for a vote here from the board. And if we're all in an agreement, is that something that has to go to council, or is that something? Okay.
No, it wouldn't need to go to council. It would come out of the capital fund though.
Okay. Okay. Does everybody understand the proposition here?
Mm-hmm. David? Yeah. For clarity, I think, you know, we're talking about two different things. One, the mm-hmm. just putting the temporary sign with the names on it underneath the other is a absolute minimal cost. And we're not talking about getting into the capital fund, but if we go, because it will be necessary to these posts will not last forever. When we put in permanent posts, that would indeed be an expenditure, and the city would probably have to approve the funding for that specifically, I would think.
So the permanent posts that you're proposing would go in after the trail is paved, correct?
Because we don't.
Right. So do you know, do we have an idea when that paving is going to take place?
In a while.
We still do not have funding for that. I'm not sure exactly where that is. We were hoping to have be funded on that by the end of this year, but it's in the state's hands, so to speak. So,
well, I think both phase one and phase two of it, phase one being the temporary and phase two of the permanent, sound like great ideas.
I agree.
We can get pricing for the phase two and figure that out when we know when the paving's going to be done.
Okay. Does anybody want to make a motion? I don't know if we need to, but we should vote on the proposal here of at least temporary signage for the time being.
So just to clarify, so that you're talking something different than what you already have as your temporary signage?
I think we're talking about.
So, but doesn't that already exist is where I'm going.
It already exists. Just putting a name on it instead of a name or a letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
In addition.
The city likes the letters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how that all came about, but
yeah,
as far as the lettering and who picked what, but so, okay. So the temporary would be just adding a name to the sign that's currently there. Mm-hmm. And then the permanent would be the more of like the 4x4 post with like that map and all that on it. Okay. I mean, are you talking to have the city buy the temporary signage underneath it? Or are you talking for the permanent?
I think the permanent is, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
That's what I feel is we're not there because the loop trail's not in. And I think we need to see where that's going to go before we start putting permanent stuff in. As David suggested, these things aren't going to last forever, the temporary ones.
No, understood.
And so I think for right now, it's just getting a name on a trail so that it's a little bit more familiar for people that are coming and going. A little more friendly, I think. I have a hard time with the alphabet myself, so a name's usually better. And the cost to that, I believe the city reimbursed us for the post and the wood and the lettering. So I think we're just looking at maybe a reimbursement of the wood and however that's going to be designed.
It should not cost much at all.
You're probably talking $100-$150 or something, I guess. Not even that. Okay.
$14.
Dollars.
I can donate that.
It depends on how.
So yeah, I think what we're wanting to agree on or have any the further discussion is just allowing FOGNAP to go ahead and put temporary signs up with trail names on it for the time being.
Gotcha.
And then we'll revisit. Well,
I move that they should do that.
Go ahead.
Can I make an addition Absolutely. To that? I think the part that we're missing here is that those names don't exist right yet.
Right.
And I think working with the city and I mean the community and trying to get some names on that level and not just letting FOGNAP put names out there.
Right.
I think that's where Marcy could be very helpful. Mm-hmm. So I think trying to get names that come from that are generated from the community would be the first step. And the second step would then be to add those names to the trip.
Well, and I think that the city's going to want to take a look at those names.
I think, yeah. And as they're generated, then they could be, have a group that selects them. Mm-hmm. Right. You mean I can't put one out there with my name on it? That would be one of the good names. So I think it's okay. So I'm going to propose that number one, we talk with Marcy about how to make naming of the trails more of a community project, and two, that then we put those on in a temporary fashion until after the loop trail's on and we go with more permanent markers.
Anybody want to second that?
Second.
Okay, David, so we had a motion from Nancy Turner and a second from David Michael, and I think we'll just vote on that. Justice?
Agreement? Concur.
Okay.
Concur with my second.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Sounds like that's carried. And so you want to be in contact with Marcy? Maybe Nancy can, you want to?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be fantastic.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you.
Good. All right. Thanks very much for coming and sitting here, Carrie.
Sure.
Going through that. Appreciate it. Okay. So.
It is on. No.
We have something that we pushed from last meeting to this meeting, and that was the hotline signage for maintenance and problems. And we had slight discussion, but I think we'd like to delve into it a little bit more tonight. So, Nancy, do you want to bring that up again?
I do. Kind of a little background was that I was out in Wilsonville and I saw these signs on their parks and boards for a hotline where you just texted in your concerns. And I brought it to the parks board and we all said, well, gee, wouldn't it be nice if we had more information? So I took this previous month and I called Wilsonville and talked with their parks supervisor, Justin Shule. And just as background, I asked, because I knew that Wilsonville was larger than Gladstone. So they have on their park staff, they have one supervisor and 11 full-time employees, and then they hire on 3 to 4 high school seasonal workers. So they're significantly bigger than we are. But I also think that this is a concept. It's not based on staff. It's more of a concept. So what you see in the parks are this sign, and it looked like there were a couple different generations of this sign, depending upon where it was posted, but it was posted like on bathrooms. I saw it on a shelter. It was over by the water feature. So it was within the park and you would see it. So I called Justin and he called back really quickly, which I appreciated immensely, and kind of explained to him the background. And it was kind of humorous because he said, I'm so glad that you called and talked to me because I'm presenting at this conference in November and I have so much data to tell you. So it was like I was the trial for his presentation. But so I asked two questions is, one, why did you do this method and how's it working? And the background of this is that when a text from a patron comes in, it goes to 6 different people in the staff. And one of them is the supervisor and then 5 other park employees. The supervisor is the only one who sees the phone number from where that text originated. The others just get the concern they get the message that the person sent, so that there's no back and forth on that one. He was very excited about this method. Previously, to the text messaging, the phone calls would come into the city, and it depended upon what number whoever was calling it in called, whether it went directly to the city, whether it went to the parks board, whether it went to public works, and then someone would try and route it to the person who would then deal with it. And he said that they had a lot of time lag there between when the call came in and then whenever whoever's voicemail it went to, they picked it up. So they felt that was really, the concerns were not being addressed in a real timely manner. So he said that this is actually working very well. This is the third year that it's been going on. The first year there were 40 texts. The second year there were 60, and this year they had already had 80. He felt that this really addressed the community's concerns with their parks. And he also was, he said it saved a lot of time in that the concern went directly to the person who dealt with it. It didn't get lost through the bureaucracy. He said sometimes they have figured out that it saved like 6 to 7 touches from the time the message came in by the time it would get to the person who actually dealt with it. And he felt that they were saving a lot of time with their admin staff, that they were then able to shift that over to work on other projects, because whatever the concern was went right to the person who could deal with it. And I'm sure Darren could support this staff, that most of the calls that came in, 70% of them were janitorial. Bathrooms, plugged toilets, not enough toilet paper, lights, those kinds of things. 13% were what he considered the dangerous situations, like tree limbs, graffiti, hate speech. And he said they were really happy that they were able to get on those a lot faster. The community wasn't real tolerant of hate speech and graffiti. And so they were able to deal with that a lot quicker. So, and then we were interrupted at that point by some dropped call or something. So I didn't get what the other percentage was. I bet Darren could probably tell us what those random things were that come in to parks. But so anyway, he felt that they had, that this program had been very well received by patrons, and that the city of Wilson, and we talked about putting the number on your speed dial, and he said that they actually have gone out and made keychains to hand out. And he said his concept is that every diaper bag, every backpack, every dog leash should have one of those keychains on it so that people can text them, because they feel it's been such a good, successful program. So he also let me know that he's presenting on this, and that he said, you can come listen to my speech. But anyway, so I'm just sharing that information. It was a really lovely conversation with him. He was very excited. He felt that this was something that really supported his employees and also the community and their wishes. So that's it.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Darren, do you know Mr. Scholl?
I do not.
Okay. I was going to say, you can thank him for a new task. I think it's a good idea that there's a number out there. I know people carry phones and can look things up. There's just a couple things in here that Nancy had the conversation. I didn't, obviously. I saw the 13% were dangerous situations, you know, and 13 is more than 10, and 10% of anything that involves an unsafe situation or like the graffiti seems to me like it's worth looking into. I just don't know how the mechanism works, you know, where somebody texts. I always have problems.
Yeah, I
sends a text
and it goes to a number,
and then it goes to a number
and it's routed.
And you know, I could see, and if I could say that, you know, one of our great public works employees would see that and says, oh, that's mine, I'm on it, and then would tell you, I've already got it taken care of. I could see where that would save you a lot of time. But I don't know how that all works. Is it something we can look at? That's, I guess, the...
I have a question real quick, because this came up when we talked about it last month. One of the things we had mentioned was, what's the follow-up like to the community? And I know that was one of your concerns. Did you happen to ask that? What, like, do they text the person back and say, okay, this is completed now? Like, what happens?
I didn't get the feeling that happened. I think it was that the task was completed. And maybe if there was danger or someone had, you know, if there was a person liability kind of thing, then that would be handled differently. But by and large, the information would come in on the text, like the bathrooms are plugged at Patterson. I don't know if you would need to text that person back and say, okay, we've plunged them, they're fine. But he used, I mean, it was an interesting concept because he said, you know, those are the people that handle it. You know, it doesn't need to go through five other people to get to that person. So, and I think freeing up time is always a good thing. But anyway, it was, since that conversation, I've kind of been watching in Gladstone. And what I see on our buildings are not the phone number to call. There are signs that say, we're watching you, which I totally get, and things like that. But I see it as, and especially if I'm visiting another park and I see something dangerous, I would like to report that. I don't have time to go on their website and find out what the number is to call. So I saw that as being very out there. You're kind of getting the community to help you monitor what's going on in your parks and be your first line of contact. But anyway,
I would agree. Councilor Reichel, are you there, Veronica? Hello.
I am here. I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm just curious, Nancy, first of all, what was Mr. Scholl's first name?
Justin.
Justin, thank you. And then did you happen to catch when his presentation is?
Yes. There is a conference, the Oregon Recreation and Parks Association Conference, ORAP, and it's held in November. He thought it was like the 8th or 9th or something here in Portland. This year it's here in Portland. So
perfect. Okay, thank you so much.
I have to also say that I truly understand that it is not our position to direct staff. I totally get that. I think I'm coming from the point of being a park patron and wanting to quickly get information to someone if there's a hazard or a concern, and having that method available. Because I know if I'm in another park or even in Gladstone, if I didn't have Public Works in my directory, by the time I got to the website and dug through all the layers to figure out who I needed to call, anyway, a text is easy. He often talks about that some of them come in the evening when people are out walking their dogs and they just immediately see something and they text it and then they don't have to worry about, oh, when I get home, I'm going to call. So it's that ease of communication. I think it's, so I'm going to shut up now. Which we know won't last long. But...
Thanks, Nancy. I really appreciate that amount of information that you got talking with him. I guess I'll just say, Darren, or I'll ask, is that something we can look further into? Is it worth a call to
Mr.? Well, I think it's something that we can look into, definitely. I mean, as far as a phone number or something like that, I think that's something that we can definitely look at. There's one key stat in all of this, and it's 11 employees. That's as much as we have in our entire Public Works Department.
Yeah.
That becomes an issue. So,
right.
And if I hear you when there's a hazard and stuff like that, totally get that. But if every time there's a plugged toilet, we've got to stop everything that we're doing, we will never, ever get the parks mowed. We will never, ever get everything completed that needs to get completed with that. But I do agree with the hazard side of that. It's definitely something we can look at. I don't know that a text would be the way that it would go or anything like that, but it's something we can definitely look at.
Yeah, it's definitely somewhere between a 911 call and
I don't think that would be a 911
and a casual yeah, plug yeah. toilet. David, did you have something to say?
I'm just thinking of this thing, you know, whatever the city does about a call on an issue like this, whatever staff you have is whatever staff you have anyway. I look at this and I think Nancy was trying to say this, is that the people really like it because they can, if I'm driving down the road and assuming I'm not texting while driving, you know, and I get to, I'm behind a truck that says, hey, if you don't like the way this car is driving, well, then text this number. Well, then, you know, you can take the problem and deal with it right then. Like you say, dog walkers at night. Now, that plugged toilet may or may not get fixed any earlier. All you got is so many people, you know. But what you do is you have a satisfied customer that says, I got my word across. Right now, if I wanted to call out a plugged toilet in a city, I would have no clue what to do. The first thing I would do is I'd call Bruce. I said, Bruce, what should I do about this? You know, and so you feel helpless as a citizen. And that's what I think this does more than anything else. It provides an outlet. Now, how much that helps things get done faster, I don't know, you know, but at least people think we care.
I also think that to put it in perspective, a parks department with 11 full-time employees is going to be cover a much larger geographic area than a parks department with one. So if they're getting 80 calls, I can't imagine you would get 80 calls. You know what I'm saying? So if you calculate approximately 220 workdays a year, if you get 50 calls or 40 calls or texts, and some of them you may already have on your radar because you're already cleaning, throwing away garbage 2 days a week, and you're already checking restrooms regularly. A lot of those won't be things you have to drop everything and respond to.
Right.
But agreeing with David and Nancy, it gives the community a buy-in they don't have right now.
No, I agree.
So.
Councilor Reichel.
Thank you. Yeah, I just was in hearing all of this. I can kind of, I totally see where you're going with this. And I just wanted, maybe if Darren could clarify, what is the current process? Like if me, you know, just me, regular citizen walking through the park, if I see something that it's like, oh geez, that needs to be addressed, what is the current process that citizens follow? Just like the basic, do they email? You know, or is there a phone number on the website under the Public Works Department? Like, what is the process? How do you typically get a report or a complaint from a resident?
So typically it's either a phone call or an email that is sent to the Public Works office. From there, it'll get routed to, well, depending on the severity of it, we'll get routed to somebody to take care of if it's, like I said, a hazard or something like that. Typically, we'll go out and take care of that right away. Less priority things, you know, those are going to wait a little bit. And then we track all of that. When somebody comes in and or we get a call for service, we do a work order for it. That work order goes to the staff member. Staff member fills out the work order as to what they did, and then we log that. And so we log all of our calls like that, get logged through work orders so that we have, you know, the backup, I guess, is probably the best way to put that, for if somebody calls or somebody, you know, you never took care of this, and we can say, well, yeah, we did. This is a different issue, that type of a thing. So we do log all of that. But I mean, the only difference with that is that you would have to look that up if you did not already have the phone number, obviously. I think putting the phone number out there is definitely a great idea. I don't have a problem with that. It's just, it'll be interesting to see what type of calls that we do end up getting from that. But I think it's, people need to have a way to be able to contact the city, no matter if they're trying to call City Hall, no matter if they're trying to call Public Works, police is pretty easy. So yeah, I've got no problem putting it out there. We just got to figure out how to put it out there and where to put it out there.
Well, let's.
Thank you for clarifying that. I just was sitting here going, you know, I wouldn't know how to do it either. So how does that work? So thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. It's positive to hear. Yeah. And so it sounds to me like if we can figure out a small sign, sticker, whatever, and figure out some places where they should go. And I know that takes time, but you know, maybe we can even get some volunteers to work on that, mock some things up, and then, you know, obviously, Public Works would have to sign off on something like that, you know, but maybe we can get something started, Darren, is what I'm hoping. And maybe I could just see if anybody here don't have to commit right now, but.
One of the things that I thought was really, it was a really delightful phone call, number one. He was very excited about this program, but he also said that he would be glad to talk to anyone, either our group or you, Darren, or a city administrator, and kind of share that information that I didn't know enough to ask about, or the more particulars of it. And, you know, just because Wilsonville does it doesn't mean we have to do it the way Wilsonville does.
Right.
But I do think having a phone number, or, and I love the texting part. I'm much more inclined to text something than to get my voice on tape. So I don't know. I just see getting the community involved, and having their eyes out there in an easy way for them to report something is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you'll get the crackpot calls. I'm sure you get them now. I don't know how the staff would feel about that too either. So, I mean, I think it's a good conversation to start. So.
Okay. Well, maybe we can check into it a little bit further. So let's move on. If there's no more comment on that. Next item on the agenda, something about a litter patrol update that I think Kim Agrimson was going to check into. And since he's not with us tonight, we won't spend much time other than thank you, Darren, for forwarding us that about the Solve project. That was really, really nice to read and to see, and love to see more of that here in town. Okay, so let's see. Next item is the review on the council approved strategic plan for 2023-2024. And Kristen had provided this for all of us. Do we all have this or we can share?
Mine just got
started. Yeah, here, I've got one here.
You and I can share. Okay.
Do you have one? Oh, okay.
Okay, put it in front of you.
I'll put it in front of me and you guys can look over.
It's right there. Yeah.
Give me a second.
Sure.
Yeah. Kidding. Perfect.
Thank you.
Very nice. That's and just looking at this, first question I have for the board here is, how many of you are familiar with all this? I think Kristen probably sent it to you. Okay. Justice, have you ever seen this one before? Okay. Yeah. Because I know this has gotten sent out. I have it in paper on my files, and, you know, but having it in front of me and looking at it again, it really started getting me thinking all over about what we had done in sitting down and trying to come up with a plan here that we could follow through. And if we look at it, Robin Hood Park improvements, we put that as a number one. And my thought here is not to go through necessarily every single item here, but more of a call out for each of us as we're looking at this, to see if we want to reprioritize any of this, or, and I don't know if we can't do that, right?
You can't do that. This has been adopted by council. So what right. you see okay. is what you get.
All right. I'm good with that. I just wanted everybody to be very familiar with it, and then, see how we're tracking. So Robin Hood, park improvements, that was number one. We got a lot of movement on that. I think we are still lagging on a few things at this point. And Darren has them on a work schedule, I believe, right?
Yeah, we're still waiting on playground equipment and all that stuff.
So. Okay. And then next one that we had was Meldrum Bar Park improvements. That's a tall order. And to make all the improvements that I think we're after takes a lot of money. This Metro local share grant proposal or what we're going to hear in November may provide us with some dollars that we can go after this. Now, we know that we were getting some updated playground equipment. And I think we're still on track for that, Darren. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. It's November's when it's due to be delivered.
Good. So number one and number two, if we get those done before 2023, you know, we've accomplished, I'll say maybe a third, because as we can see this, the next item that was a priority, we have things working. It's the poker's in the fire, but I don't know when it's coming out on this walking trail at the nature park. We're kind of at the mercy of the state, I believe, right now for the funding. But it's coming along. So I'm trying to work ourselves down to number five here. We've got Ridgegate property, parcel A. This one has been long in coming. It's just an educational sign and maybe a park bench. Does anybody need clarity on Ridgegate? Mm-mm. Parcel Justice? I'm looking at you kind of because
I don't know where it's at.
Okay. All right. So Ridgegate, the road that comes off of Oatfield and goes up and kind of over. There's a large space to your right. And if you look through, you see Cracksburger Middle School. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a park. That clear space. Mm-hmm. It's actually been maintained pretty well these last couple of years. And thank you for that. The idea is that we're not going to develop the park, but it was a grant from a family. I think it was the Scott family, if I'm not mistaken. And then right across the street, it's a very undeveloped area. I mean, it's not even cleared out. That's also part of this parcel that makes the park. So
it's a separate parcel.
Separate parcel.
Yes.
Yeah. So the idea was that on parcel A, which is the cleared out part, was that we would put an educational sign there that just talks about the fact that it was a grant from a family that I believe lived here in Gladstone, and put a park bench there perhaps, and then a sign that talks about the natural area across the street. You know, we were close when we came up with the signage around the city when we developed the new look. So at any rate, it got left off. So if we can get number four taken care of and get started on number five, then we're halfway through our strategic goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the complete, but at least getting them done. And if you want, we can go through the rest of them. But the bottom line is, if you read through there, it's going to take money and it's going to take some time. But I'd like us to make it through priority number five by the end of this year.
And that doesn't. Hey, Bruce, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the screen that I have sharing is not your goals. Would you mind just telling me what number five is again?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah, Veronica, it's number five is complete the Highway 99 trail crossing from Doll Beach to Charles Ames Park.
Oh, okay.
Which we were just discussing. <Yeah. laughs> And there's dollar signs behind that, as well as some other things.
I mean, yes, but yeah. I do want to just also, since I've already commandeered this portion of the meeting, I just want to say that even if these things aren't fully done, I am very excited about the progress that you all are making and the focus and decision making that you are involved in with things like the Robin Hood and the Meldrum and the play structures and all those things. Like, you guys are doing good work. So I'm happy to see what is happening. Excellent. Due to you and your dedication and your volunteer time. So Thank you. And now I'll shut up.
Well, on behalf of everybody sitting here, I'm sure that's much appreciated to hear from you.
Veronica.
Well, I appreciate you guys. Yes, Darren.
We'll send you a copy of this. We're having problems with the Zoom. We're not able to share the screen for whatever reason. So we'll send you a copy of all of the presentation stuff tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, I know that I have this in one of my myriad packets, but I just don't have it in front of me. But yeah, no problem. No problem at all. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And David, comment, question?
Yeah, I think we need to address this topic after we talk to Metro next week. Mm-hmm. I think right now we're looking at learning some things. Mm-hmm. And so it's maybe a little premature to see what, you know, what we might be able to turbocharge. Yep. Hopefully.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So if I can get you all thinking about getting to number five, with the progress that we've made, you know, then I think we could say we're on track. And then we'll have to look at 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, in the coming year. That's all I had to address on that. Anybody questions or comments? Okay, wonderful. We'll check that one off. So we come to list of grants, and I was going to ask David how he did on looking at that, and he reminded me, no, it was Darren that was going to look at that. So someone has a list of grants somewhere. Nobody. Okay.
No, what we were going to do is I wanted you guys to look at things that we could do to go after grants that were with a cap of like $150,000 is what I wanted from you all.
Oh.
All right. All right. So that's what we're going to have. I'll readjust my notes here.
Let me just ask one question. Is there any list of grants, or is it just kind of like out there? And I always feel like we're just kind of, you know, playing whack-a-mole. You know, we don't know what's out there. It sounds like there is some more stuff out there, and obviously Jackie knows a lot about it and deserves to, but it would be kind of nice. And
there are so many grants that are out there, and there's grants for different things. I mean, a playground can get a grant that that same grant can't be used here, you know, to do a trail or something like that. So the whole idea was to get a list of things that you guys wanted to do in the parks, and then we could go after grants that would match up with that.
Is there anything that we as a board could do to educate ourselves on those grants, or we maybe don't want to enter that briar patch?
I think that you'd be spending a lot of time looking at a lot of things. This is where I would go with that. I mean, there's so many different grants. You know, Oregon Parks and Recreation, you know, you got state grants, there's just so many that are out there that, you know, we could qualify for. We just need to know what we're actually going after to be able to qualify for.
So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send an email to everybody, and I'm going to ask you to give me some ideas on where you would like to focus. You know, there's a good example here because it's on our list, Nick Shannon Park Improvements. We know Meldrum, we could spend gobs of money, but we have to pinpoint things, I believe. Mm-hmm. So if I send out an email in this next week, it would be nice if everybody would just respond.
Bruce, can you send that to me, and then I'll send it out to everybody? Otherwise, that's a quorum, and then we have to post that.
I'm going to send an email to Darren.
Thank you.
I'll do that. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Okay. All right. So I think we can retire that one for tonight. And Kristen, do we have any business from the audience?
No.
Okay. Nobody signed up. All righty. So anything from any of the board members?
Not from this end.
Okay.
Moving toward you.
Okay. Nancy, we covered things. I'm good. Yeah, everybody good? All right. Well, I hope everybody had that last shot of summer and enjoyed themselves. Counselor, I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm really chatty tonight. Just in case you guys didn't know, I just wanted to let you know that tomorrow night during the city council meeting, we are having a presentation from a representative from Metro, and it looks like it's maybe just more of a broad overview of kind of their focus in many different areas of what Metro does. But if any of you are interested, that presentation will be happening tomorrow night during city council. And then also we have, let me get the names here. We are going to have a presentation regarding the Reyneersa Natural Area that's in Meldrum, which I thought might be of particular interest to you all. It's representatives from Columbia Restoration. They're going to kind of provide a overview presentation about that project as well. So two things that I just thought that you all might be particularly interested in. It could be very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you very much. That's good information to have.
Yep.
Okay. Well, if there is nothing more, can I take a vote to adjourn? Yeah. Okay.
Let's make a motion.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Anyone want a second?
I second.
Okay, Justice has made a motion. Ellen has seconded the motion. Let's take a quick vote. Justice, yes?
Yes.
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 That was unanimous. We're adjourned at, 7:35 and a half.